some extra time on my hand while I was on vacation. That's why you're getting a handout. I had time to make one. I usually don't. If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 14. This will be real simple today. I hope it will. I just picked out one verse here. It's a good preaching verse. But it goes along with our morning study on this book that we're going through. In verse 14, this is Samuel, and he says, "If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers." Heavenly Father, this afternoon, help us, Lord, to understand that it's not enough simply to get saved and coast through this life and expect that we'll receive all the blessings you'd like to give us. Help us, Lord, learn how we can stay near to you and be in your will and to understand that we've got to stay in your word and show us the importance of that today, Lord. Show us the importance of prayer. Show us the importance of love in our relationships with others. All the things you have for us today in this message, Lord, I pray that you'll impress it upon each of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, I think it's simple here. And you can say what you want. You can argue all you want. Jesus saves. The Holy Spirit seals, God the Father preserves your eternal and everlasting life. Jesus gives you everlasting life. The Holy Spirit keeps you in that everlasting life. God the Father, He's the author and the finisher of that everlasting life. But your temporal walk down here on earth is not something that you can take for granted. It's not something that just happens automatically. There is a responsibility that God gives you to keep yourselves walking in the light, to keep yourselves in the love of God, to keep yourselves in the center of God's will. We're not talking about going to heaven or hell. We're talking about your enjoyment of the trip. The Bible says in verse 14, if ye, right? It's conditioned upon your actions. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall ye continue, key word, following the Lord your God. So friends, it's not just automatic that you're going to wake up tomorrow and be in God's will. That you're going to wake up a week from now and be where God wants you to be. That you're going to wake up a month from now and still be enjoying the blessings from the Lord. You have got to obey God. You've got to keep His commandments. You can't be a rebel against the truth of God, or else you'll lose His blessings. On the other hand, in verse number 15, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. You say, does that mean you're not saved anymore? No, you're still saved. You're still His child. But there's a rod of correction. There's a chastening. There's a paddling. There's a scourging for those that are disobedient. So I want to show you today from the Bible seven things, real simply, seven things that God says we must continue to do if we are going to follow the Lord in our temporal lives, these lives here on earth. It's not enough to start well. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Who hath bewitched you? You began well, you started well, but now you've turned aside." The Apostle Paul wrote one time under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Ye did run well, what hath hindered you?" He wrote the Hebrews and he said, "Hey folks, let's lay aside those weights. Let's lay aside those sins that so easily beset us." And it's one thing to start out right and start out on that gospel way. It's another thing to continue therein. And I want to show you real simply from the Word of God today that we must, what we must do to continue in following the Lord. First of all, in John chapter 8, and verse number 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Who's he talking to? Believers. Not unsaved, he's talking to believers. "If," notice the condition, "if ye continue in my word, then are ye saved?" No. "Then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You say, "Brother Bob, how many times have you heard somebody quote verse 32? You say, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You hear it all the time. But that's a misquotation of the Word of God, because you've left out half of what Jesus said. He said, "If ye continue in my word, then," as a result of continuing in the word of God, "then you become more than just saved, more than just born again, you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that word disciple, how similar it is to the word discipline. You know what's wrong with a lot of God's people? You know what's wrong with a lot of preachers? You know what's wrong with a lot of people who go to church? They just lack discipline. They lack the spiritual and the moral character to continue doing the things that are necessary to live an effective Christian life. It's not a matter of not knowing right. It's not a matter of not being able to answer right. It's simply a matter of lacking the determination, lacking the resolve to do what you know is necessary to follow Jesus Christ. He said, if you want to be a disciple, a disciplined follower, you must continue in my word. You say, "Brother Bob, I've read the Bible all the way through from cover to cover." Well, you better keep reading it from cover to cover. Okay? You say, "Brother Bob, I read the Bible when I first got saved. I read the Bible every day for a whole year." Well, you better continue reading the Bible every day. You say, "Well, when I was first born, I ate for a whole year every single day." You better keep eating or else you're going to die. All right? You're going to get sick. You're going to shrivel up and be malnourished and diseased. And you won't be able to do anything physically. Okay? And the same thing is true spiritually. If ye continue in my word. Notice what he says in verse 32. You can't know the truth that makes you free unless you continue in his word. There's many a Christian today that has no freedom to enjoy the Christian life, has no freedom to enjoy following Jesus Christ, because they're trying to follow Jesus. They're trying to live the Christian life apart from the Word of God. A man who tells me, please pray for me, I just can't stop smoking these cigarettes. I say, that's not true. That's not true. You just don't want to. Because if you wanted to, you would resolve, you would purpose, you would determine that you were not going to do it anymore. See, the problem is not that you can't, it's that you won't continue in His Word, that He might set you free. Now, I don't care what your lust is. I don't care what your habit or your particular pitfall is. Jesus said, if ye will continue in my word, a disciplined follower of my truth, that truth will work in your life to bring about spiritual and physical and emotional and mental freedom. Amen. Not a start, not a once upon a time, but a continuance. A continuance. Listen, this town, any town you go to, it's scattered with the ruin of people who began following Jesus. They're no help to you. They're no help to any other church in this town. They're no help to God. They're no help to this lost world. And it's not because they didn't start well. It's because they did not continue in the Word of God. Listen, I'll tell you something. Lazarus, standing outside the tomb, he was just as much alive as he was 5 years previous, before the Lord ever, or before he'd ever died. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He came forth and he was alive. But the Bible says he was bound hand and foot in his grave clothes. He was alive, but he was not free. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And the next time you see Lazarus, he's free and living in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people, Jesus called them out of death, called them out of the grave, gave them life, but they're still bound in their grave clothes because they're not continuing as disciplined followers of His words. Amen. I know. Sometimes you come around here, you say, I've heard that before. He's preached that before. I know that. Why didn't he tell us something that we don't know? I'll tell you why. Because you've got to continue in the Word. It's not enough to start. You've got to continue. Those same basic truths that got you started are what keeps you going. Amen. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We've got to continue in the Word. John 15 verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So once again, we see a condition. Once again, we see a responsibility that's placed on the believer. Jesus said, "Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye will continue in my love." Now, I don't understand all this. I just know, once upon a time, you were walking down the road of life, and you met someone, and you fell in love. It's kind of a bad term, isn't it? I don't know why we don't say you rose instead of you fell in love. That's always kind of bothered me, but I mean, because truly, if it's love, it's not a fall, is it? It'll lift you up. Your heart was smitten when you found someone of like mind and of like interest, of like belief, of like nature and personality. And your hearts were knit together. Not because you saw everything different, not because you were at odds all the time, but because of your kindred agreement, your fellowship one with another. Now, I don't care if it's a marriage, I don't care if it's a parent-child relationship, it doesn't matter if it's a pastor-church member relationship, I don't care if it's a relationship between a believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you stay in love with one another is to build upon and to emphasize those points of common agreement, not to emphasize those points of disagreement. Amen. Now, you know something? If you don't like Jesus Christ, if you don't like what he said to do, if you don't like the way he said to live, if you don't like what he said about dress and about talk and about obedience and about service and about giving, I'll tell you something right now. You're not going to stay in love with him for very long. Every time he speaks to you in his word, you're going to get into an argument. Every time you try to speak to him in prayer, you're going to end up getting mad at him. And you've got to realize that yes, God is love. And yes, God loves his children. But there's a relationship. There's an intimacy. There's a fellowship that God has with his disciples that is dependent upon our building our lives upon his commandments, so that there's a true and a genuine love relationship. I don't like to lie in church. Some of you hear that and you say, well, you like to lie outside of church? Well, what I mean is, most of us tell more lies in church than we do outside of church. One day we're going to do an album, and we're going to call it True Hymns of the Christian Life. True Hymns. And it'll feature such great hymns as "Some to Jesus I Surrender, Some to Him I Freely Give, I Surrender All." You gotta be kidding me, do you? "Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king." I don't like to lie in church. And you know, it was many, many years. I'd probably been saved 10 or 12 years before I could ever honestly get on my knees before God and say, "Lord, I love you." Because I had so many controversies with God and so many things in my life that I was holding back from the Lord that I couldn't honestly tell him I loved him. Because every time I'd start, the Holy Spirit would say, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I knew there was more than I wasn't keeping, more commandments that I was not keeping than that I was keeping. You know what that Bible says? The Bible says if you are not a disciplined keeper of God's commandments, you may serve the Lord, you may work for the Lord, you may speak for the Lord, but you will never genuinely love the Lord. He said, I want you to continue in my love by keeping my commandments. Amen. Look in Hebrews 13. We're to continue in Jesus' love. Thirdly, Hebrews 13 and verse number 1. Hebrews 13, 1. Let. See that again? That means that's something that I do. Okay, that's a responsibility that I have. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. All right, you see that? Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. You are going to have to allow that, because some of the brothers are going to do everything in their power to discontinue it. Some of God's people, I think the Lord puts them on the earth to try us and to see just how much grace we have and how much patience we have. Amen? I mean, it's like the fellow that went down to the Army recruitment office, and he said to the recruiter, I'll go, but I'm taking my wife with me. And the recruiter said, there's no way. You're going to be going into combat. You can't take your wife with you. And he said, well, if I can't take my wife with me, I'm not going. He said, I'm a pacifist, sir. And the only person in this world who can make me mad enough to fight is my wife. So he said, if I can't take her with me, I'm not going. And you know, sometimes you just got to let. You got to allow yourself to continue to love the brethren. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now this is kind of a hard thing, but the Bible says in the book of 1 John, if you don't love your brother whom you've seen, you do not love God whom you have not seen. You say, well, I love God, but I don't love that guy. Well, I love God, but I don't like her. Well, I love God, but I don't like that song leader. I love God, but I don't get along with that church member over there. Well, no, that's not true. What you're saying isn't true. The Bible says if you don't love God's children that are visibly manifest in your presence, it's a testimony that you don't love the invisible, unseen God. That's what the Lord said. And he said, we've got to continue in that charity. We've got to continue in that brotherly love, because if we're not careful, situations and circumstances and personalities and events are going to break and destroy that love that you have for your brothers and sisters in Christ. They'll give you cause, they will. They'll give you reason. I think the best way to handle that thing is just to look in the mirror and say, God, have I ever done that to anybody? Have I ever treated anybody that way? It's very seldom you can't answer yes. So you got to let it continue. You got to allow it. Okay, Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. We've got to continue in the Word. We've got to continue in Jesus' love. We've got to continue expressing this love toward the brethren. Acts chapter 13, verse number 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. Let me tell you what else you've got to maintain. You're going to get saved and start walking down that gospel road. And this is what happens to a lot of people. They get to looking around and they start saying, I think God's people ought to live right. And they should. I think God's people ought to be separated. And they should. I think God's people ought to be holy. And they should. And not understanding the grace of God, they begin to try and place believers back under laws, back under rules and regulations to try and enforce by fiat and decree the commandments of God. And the apostle Paul said, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, you better continue in the grace of God. Standards and rules and regulations and codes and bylaws will destroy your Christian life. It will ruin you. If you love God, you'll obey Him. If you're walking in the light, you'll live like Jesus Christ. If it takes a man threatening you with expulsion, with removal from the church, to get you to dress right, then you're still not dressing right. Because God judges the heart, the motive, not the action. If you don't tithe, God's going to take your firstborn son. He's going to lay him down on a highway and run his head over and splatter his brains all over the road. Well, I don't believe that kind of stuff for one minute. You know what that is? That's somebody who has failed to continue in the grace of God. Talking like that. Other people, they'll come along and they won't get bound up in legalism. They'll get captured by fear and by doubt and by worry and by frustration, because the devil will come or some preacher will come and say, oh, you did that? Well, you're not saved anymore. You did that? Oh, God doesn't love you anymore. You did that? God threw you out of His family. He kicked you out. He took that stone out of His church, His building. Just threw it away. He took that part out of His body. He amputated it, and you're done. You're gone. You know what the Apostle Paul said? You need to continue in the grace of God. God saved me when I was worthless. God saved me when I was sinful through and through. God saved me. I couldn't get any worse than to be lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And He saved me. He saved me. So don't tell me now that I am His blood-bought child born into His family, that now He's going to treat me worse than He did when I was a child of the devil. I don't believe that. You've got to continue in the grace of God. Amen. I'll tell you something else. Let's say you don't continue in the Word and you get messed up. Let's say you don't continue in His love and you get off track. Let's say that you quit loving the brethren and you get a hard heart or a bitter heart or a critical spirit. I'll tell you what you better do. You better not quit. You better not use that as an excuse to turn away. You better not say, oh well, I blew it, I might as well go back out there into the world. What you need to do is get to an altar and get back under the grace of God. Get forgiven, cleansed, remade, renewed, transformed in your mind, and go on in God's grace. Not try like so many of these Christians who spend the rest of their life trying by their works and their deeds to make things right with God again. You can't ever make anything right with God by works or deeds. You've got to continue the way you began in the grace of God. Amen. Oh, we sing about our salvation. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. But then in our day-to-day walk we say, something in my hand I bring, no more to thy cross I cling. And that won't work. You've got to continue in God's grace. Now that's not a license to sin, but it's the only remedy for pride and self-righteousness. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved, and man, I'm living right too. Well, if you are, that's only by God's grace. It's not by any great thing on my part or your part, okay? It's the grace of God. You know, if it was not for God's grace, He could just take your mind right now. He could take your mind today. If it wasn't for the grace of God, He could take every ability you ever had to live right and to do right. He could do that. You know why you're still standing? This grace in which ye stand. Continue in the grace of God. Look at Acts chapter 14. Something else we need to continue in. Acts chapter 14, verse number 22. 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know what he just said there? If you are going to continue following the Lord, if you're going to walk this Christian walk, don't make any mistake about it. Tribulation will come. Trouble will come. Difficulties will come. Setbacks will come. Hard times are coming. When things begin to go wrong, when the devil begins to attack, when God begins to allow trouble and tribulations, you've got to continue in the faith. Don't look for something else. Don't lean to something else. Don't run to some other solution. Stay right where you are. Stay right on that path. Go right on following Jesus Christ, knowing that this is just part of the Christian walk. Look at it again. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Will there be tribulation? Well, that verse right there says, yes, there will. Will there be hard times? That verse says there will. Will there be difficulty? That verse says yes, there will. That verse says when those things happen, when the bottom falls out, continue following the Lord on the narrow road just like you have been. How many times has somebody come to the pastor and said, "Pastor, where did I get off track? Everything's going wrong. Where did I get off the track? I need some new solution. I need to try some new thing because all these troubles and all these problems." Well, you know what the Bible says? You might still be right in the very center of God's will. Even though all those things are happening to you, you could still be in God's will. Just continue in the faith. Amen. I mean, talk to Mormons. Ask them how many of them made a profession of faith and got baptized in a Baptist church. About 70%. Talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Ask them how many of them made a profession of faith and got baptized in a Baptist church. About 70%. Talk to the people in churches that don't even have a Bible, much less believe it. Ask them how many of them started out in the Baptist church and made a profession of faith. And you know what you'll find out? If you can sit down with these people long enough to talk to them, you'll find out that when tribulation came, when trouble came, they forsook, they abandoned the faith in which they were walking. And they tried some new thing, to try to fix their problem. You should be in God's will, like the Apostle Paul was, with a messenger of Satan buffeting his body every day and no answer to prayer. You should be as much in the will of God as Paul was, thrown into jail, shipwrecked, bitten by a serpent, in bonds and chains in a Roman dungeon. You should be in the center of God's will like Paul was. You know what Paul said? Man, he rattled those chains in front of that emperor and he said, "I would to God your life was just like mine, except for these bonds." He didn't forsake the faith when things went wrong. He did not forsake the faith when troubles came. He didn't abandon the narrow road when it became difficult. He could stand there after years of imprisonment with his feet shackled and his hands in chains and say, "I would to God your life was just like mine." You know what he did? He continued in the faith. He continued in the faith. Listen, if not tomorrow, it'll be the next day. If it's not the next day, it'll be the day after. But if Jesus doesn't come, you're going to have some sort of trouble, some sort of difficulty that'll cause you to stop and ask yourself, is it worth it to go on? You got to continue in the faith. There was a woman in a church in Ontario, Canada, and a fella came in one of those motorized wheelchairs with his head laid back in the wheelchair. And someone asked, "What happened to that fella?" And they said, "Well, 5 years ago, somebody from the church was on the way to pick him up to come to a revival meeting here. Four of his friends got saved that night. But while we were out on our way to pick him up, some of his unsaved friends came by and talked him out of going to church and talked him into going out drinking with them. That night they were drunk. The car went off the road, overturned. He broke his neck and he's been paralyzed from the waist down ever since. His mother cleans him, bathes him, cares for him, loads him up in that wheelchair, loads him up in a van, and brings him to church every single Sunday and prays to God, God, save my boy today. God, I pray that he hadn't crossed that deadline. Now, you know what she could have done? She could have shook her fist in God's face and said, that's it, I'm through. But you know what she decided to do? Continue in the faith. One fellow gave a testimony, and he had four babies buried behind the churchyard. Four little babies. And he's had two little children since then. They love God. He got up with the children and he sang hymns of praise to the Lord. And he sat there weeping as they filmed his testimony. And he said, I don't blame God for what he did. I don't know why he did it, but it's not a reason to stop following him. That man could have quit. Four babies died. He could have given up, but he continued in the faith. He continued in the faith. Let me tell you something, friends, that the way our governments are going these days, you're going to hear some things that are going to make your ears tingle and your heart fail with fear. You better make up your mind to continue in the faith. I tell you what, you better enjoy the freedom that you've got right now to do things like going to different places, to fellowship with other Christians. It may not be long before you won't be able to travel so freely carrying a Bible, so that you can go and enjoy the company of God's people like you can today. You better make up your mind. Tribulation is no reason to quit. I'm going to continue in the faith. Romans chapter 11. Two more. Romans chapter 11. And verse number 22. I tell you what, friends, just put God first. Do what you're supposed to do, and he will make you able. Romans 11, 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. What did he say? He's writing to Gentiles, talking about Jews and Gentiles. He said the Jews had the word of God, they had the commandments, they had the covenant, but in unbelief they turned aside to other gods, and God severely judged and punished them. He said, now, there's a good way, there's a good way to live, there's a good life, there are good things that God has for you. Continue in those things. Continue in those things. You know, when you first got saved, you'd walk out that door and you'd say, that door of the church, you'd say, man, it was good to be in church. Right? When you first got saved, you'd say, man, those are good old songs that we sing down there. When you first got saved, you'd say, boy, we had a good time going out witnessing, telling people about Jesus. You better continue in those good things. You better continue in those good things. I know how the devil is. I know how he works. We talked about that this morning. You get going along, you've been saved a while, you've been in church a while and serving God for a while, and the devil says, Now that you're grounded in the faith, it won't hurt you to start listening to that old stuff again. Because after all, you're spiritual now. You know the word now. He'll say, you know, you've been walking with God long enough now. You've got enough of the Holy Spirit and you've learned enough of those verses. You can start watching that again. That won't hurt you now because, you know, now you know what's wrong with it. You've been saved for a while and, you know, after all, there is a verse in the Bible about, you know, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And you know, after all, Noah drank and he was a man of God. And, you know, I don't see where it'll hurt you. Listen, you better continue. You better continue in what God showed you were good things. And not go back to what God showed you were bad things. He said the key to this Christian life is a simplicity, a childlike simplicity. You know what we do with little children? You know what we say? We say, good boy, good boy. Or we say, bad, bad. It's just that simple. When you first get saved, you don't know all the verses. You don't know all the doctrines. You don't know all the ins and outs of justifying this and making excuses for that. You just know that the Holy Spirit says, good, good, bad, bad. And man, when he says bad, just stay away. Stay away from it. But if you're not careful, a few years down the road, the Holy Spirit will say bad, and you'll say, yeah, but God is understanding. God, he's long-suffering. I know I'm in the palm of his hand, and he'll never cast me out. You better continue in his goodness. You better continue in his goodness. He's going to give Israel all that he promised them, right? You believe that? He's going to give them that promised land and them ruling over all the nations. He promised it. But he would have given it to them 2,000 years ago without the Holocaust in Britain, without the Holocaust in Spain, without the Holocaust in Germany, without the Holocaust that's coming in the tribulation time. But they didn't continue in his goodness. And so they got his severity. Now if you're saved and you're washed in the blood, you're going to get to heaven. But there's a good way to live and a bad way to live. There are good things to do and bad things not to do. And the Lord said, please continue in his goodness. Amen. All right, one more. Get Romans 12. Just turn one page probably. And Colossians 4. Colossians 4 with Romans 12. We'll start with Colossians. Continue in the Word. Continue in Jesus' love. Continue expressing love toward the brethren. Continue in grace. Continue in God's goodness. Continue in faith. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. And Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. You say, what about that word of God? Well, if I was you, I would pray every time I read it. I'd never lean to my own understanding. I'd never trust my own knowledge or ability. You say, what about Jesus' love? Well, I know my heart's desperately wicked. Above all things, the Bible says. And it says, I have no idea what's in my heart. God said, who can know it? Speaking of my heart. You can't even know your own heart. So we need to continually pray. Jesus, keep me in love with you. What about loving the brethren? Well, I wonder if we prayed for our brothers and sisters in Christ as much as we complained about them, if God wouldn't just make them what we think they ought to be. Isn't that the truth? Think of if all the time and energy that had been spent, for example, in criticizing Billy Graham, if that energy had been spent praying for him, think about what God might have done in his life. You'll never know. I tell you what, if every time Brother Bob does something that you don't like, or says something in a way that you think deserves criticism, if you would just go to God and say, God, help him to do better next time. God, help him to grow up and be what you want him to be. I bet you'd see results a whole lot faster. I mean, think about it. Your wife can't fix me. Why are you complaining to her about me? Amen? Your husband, he can't straighten me out. Why are you telling him? You're my husband. You go tell him. You know what that's going to do if he does? If I'm in the flesh when he comes and tells me about it, I'm going to bow up and I'm going to be twice as much in the flesh after he's done. And I'm not bragging about that. That's the nature of the beast. So continue instant in prayer that you might stay in love with the brethren. Boy, if the minute someone did something to us that hurts our feelings, if we just take that thing to God in prayer right then and there, that would save our churches. Sure would. Continue in prayer that you might stay in the grace of God, that you might stay in the faith, that you might stay in God's goodness. I don't know about you, but I pray all the time. I really do. I pray all the time. God, don't let me turn aside from this book. God, don't let me turn aside from the truth of your word. You say, well, Brother Bob, you know that Bible. You've been studying that thing for years. Yeah, well, so have a lot of men, and you've seen them go bad, haven't you? There's men who know this Bible a whole lot better than I ever could, and they went bad. So we've got to continue in prayer. Instant in prayer. Now, that prayer line, it's always open. Anytime, day and night, we need to make use of that. We need to avail ourselves of it. Well, Samuel said we ought to continue following the Lord. And if we would, he'd bless us. And it's up to you. It's up to you. Those aren't hard things. They're all pretty simple things. It's just a matter of resolve. It's a matter of purpose. It's a matter of determination. I'm going to do it because God said that's where the blessings are. Yeah, I'm going to keep on to stay on that path. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay in the grace of God. God helping me to be what he wants me to be. I'll close with this. Let me give you some advice. We ought to pray every morning. God, if this is my last day on earth, if either through death or the rapture, this is my last day on earth, God, I want this to be the very best day of my Christian life. I want to be closer to you, more true to you, more faithful to you, more of what you would have me to be today than I've ever been one day in my life. Because it just might be the day that Jesus comes. Just might be that day. Oh, to be found not just having started, but having continued to follow the Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you stand? We'll pray. And then Brother Edgar will come. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us that of all these things we need to continue in. Help us, Lord, not to be trying to do things in our own strength. Help us to remember, Lord, that you're there and you want to bless us, and you're the one who can make things right. You're the one who can help us out in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Let us not stand in our own strength. Help us to continue in prayer, in your goodness, in faith, and in all these things you've showed us, Lord, to not neglect any one of them. Help us to continue loving the brethren, to pray for them whenever we think they need your help, whenever we think they might be lacking. Help us not to complain to others, but to come to you and ask you to bless that person, to help them out. Help us, Lord, to continue loving your word. Help us never to neglect those things that you've shown us in your word, to just read them and forget them. Help us to retain those things, to apply them to our lives, to believe them, and never to compromise upon what you've said. Help us to not allow the devil to make us compromise, or to make us doubt your words, or skip parts of it like he does in so many places and with so many Christians. But Lord, help us to stand upon your truths so that we can continue till the day that you come to take us to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.